Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva again, the editor of the journal, just having returned from Quebec City towards the eastern end of Canada, and was there with Chris Watling, who is associate professor in the Schulich School of Medicine and Dentistry, Western University, and also is working on his PhD in health professional education. We were both there for the Canadian Conference on Medical Education and have returned to find time to speak about a paper that Chris has coming out in the June issue of MedEd, which is entitled Beyond Individualism, Professional Culture, and Its Influence on Feedback. Welcome, Chris. I hope you made it home okay and that you're feeling up to this.
I did indeed. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's a very interesting paper, and I know it to be part of your PhD program, so we don't need to feel constrained necessarily to the specifics of the article, but this is in many ways, I think, reflective of a renaissance and that the whole concept of feedback is having within medical education, but you're taking a quite unique spin on it and trying to push it into the social realm. Is that prompted by anything in particular?
Well, some of the earlier work that I did really looked at feedback from a very individualist perspective. I think that was just the way that I happened to approach it was a very kind of cognitive perspective. How do individuals make decisions about the feedback they receive and whether to listen to it and act on it or whether to discard it? And I sort of felt that although that was kind of a fairly engaging way to look at it, that there was perhaps more to it than that. And so this study was really part of an effort to see whether the way that people were handling feedback was really entirely up to them, or whether some of it, or perhaps a lot of it, was directed by the environment or the culture in which they were learning. And I wasn't really sure, actually, how, you know, what the relative contributions of the individual and the social were. But many times during some of my earlier work, I had sort of said to myself or said to other people, you know, I wonder if these problems are distinct to medicine. I wonder if they talk about these same kinds of things in other fields, if these are our problems or if they are more universal problems. So that's kind of what prompted this way of looking at things.
Yeah, it's interesting. We do talk often about the culture of medicine and the culture of medical education, and obviously to study some of these issues within medicine doesn't give you a chance to really tease apart whether it has anything to do with medicine specifically. You're an educator as well as a physician, and so it makes sense to me that you would expand the scope by looking at how some of these things play out in teacher training. Are you a musician as well?
I am a musician, actually, and I was actually considerably more familiar with that culture than the teacher training culture. I sort of felt like I understood the medical education culture, and I felt like I had a reasonable understanding of the music culture, although I tried not to approach this with an assumption that I did. I haven't been immersed in that culture for quite a long time. And I consider myself an educator, as I would say do all of my co-authors, but none of us has ever actually undertaken ourselves the kind of teacher training that's referred to in this article.
Right. So I should maybe step back and ask you to fill in for our listeners just why I might be asking those questions in the first place. You went out into those three groups, and were they selected for any particular reason?
Yeah, the basic premise of this was in order to look at the cultural influences on feedback, we thought that a useful way of doing that might be to make use of comparisons with other professional or disciplinary training cultures. Just to make a little bit more explicit what we do in medicine and to kind of expose areas where what we do is actually distinct rather than just being the way it is. So we chose music and teacher training for a couple of reasons. One, just kind of logistical issue, we have good programs in both at our own university, so we didn't have to look too far. And then we also thought that there were certain similarities among all three of these fields that made them interesting to compare. And I think at the heart of it, all of these fields are training individuals to perform and to perform a set of specific skills in a particular context. But then the nature of the performances that are required at the end of the day are really quite distinct. You know, if you imagine giving a mathematics lesson to a bunch of school kids and compare that to performing a concerto on a concert stage or doing an operative procedure, they're all performances, but they're so distinct that we thought that they would make for some interesting comparisons. The other thing is that we had a sense that each of these had a pretty well-defined pedagogical culture and a set of routines and practices that they enacted in a fairly reproducible way. So we hoped that if we went and studied teacher training or music training, even though we were doing it at our university, that it would resonate with the way that those professions prepare their own in other places as well.
And within each of those professions, you mentioned the variability in type of performance, but yeah. Even within each of those professions, there would be variability in the context within which feedback might be given or received. Did you try to constrain the discussion in any particular way?
We mainly collected data through focus groups, and we did try to set up the focus groups each time with a little bit of an introduction to give people a sense of what we were talking about, but also to allow a little bit of exploration so that people could tell us something about their particular culture. So in music, for example, we would say that what we were interested in hearing about was the way in which they learned and were trained, and we were particularly interested in the interactions that they had where they would give a performance of some type and then get feedback on their performance to help them to progress and to improve. And in teacher training, we actually did ask the students to focus specifically on what they call a practicum, which is that part of their training where they actually go into schools and into classrooms and have the opportunity to teach. And so that's the performance aspect of it. And then we wanted them to focus on the experience of that and the experience of receiving feedback from what they call the associate teacher, effectively their supervisor, who's the equivalent of the music teacher or the preceptor in medicine, and who provides regular feedback on that type of performance. So we did restrict it a little bit. For example, we weren't as interested in the kind of feedback someone might get in teacher training on a written essay that they would have to submit. We were really interested in the feedback on performance in each of the disciplines.
Right, okay. And so I'm going to jump to your results now, if I may, even though I realize there's a lot of methodological detail that we're skimming over. But one of the things you found that I thought was reinforcing of the things that have been said in medicine to this point are that credibility and being constructive matters. They seem to be fairly universal, if I understood your paper correctly. Maybe you can tell us more specifically about what differences you identified that seem worth highlighting to better inform medical education.
Yeah, it's always reassuring when the findings align with things that you already figured or that have been reported elsewhere. And so,
At least in part.
And also with, to some extent, common sense about feedback. Right. So I think others have certainly said that feedback needs to be constructive and that feedback needs to be credible. And these two things are a little bit different. Constructive in some ways is more up to the person who's providing the feedback. Credibility is a judgment that the recipient of feedback makes. But both of them, I think we already knew were important, and this study really reinforced that. And what it also helped us to understand was that those two features of feedback seem to be considered equally important in each of the disciplines that we looked at. So everywhere feedback needs to be credible, and everywhere feedback needs to be considered constructive. The difference that we found was how constructiveness and credibility are defined are actually created by the social and the cultural aspects of the learning environment as much as by the individual learner. So if I can give you an example, in medicine, learners in general find the most credible source of feedback to be the high-performing clinician. So if they have somebody who can serve as a role model for them by virtue of their own clinical skill, then that person tends to become a very credible source of feedback to them. And their clinical skill may be a more important marker of their credibility than, say, their instructional skill or their skill as a teacher or a communicator. If you look at music, on the other hand, they had a very opposite approach, which was that the most credible teachers were the ones who could teach, as opposed to the ones who were really skilled performers in their own right. And that's not to say that musicians don't value skilled performers or think that it's somewhat desirable if their own teacher is a skilled performer, but what they really look for is instructional skill. They're most keen on the teacher who can actually help them to move from A to B rather than the teacher who is already there. One student said something along the lines of, "You can just buy a CD if all you want to hear is somebody playing great. That doesn't really help me. What I need is someone who can instruct me to get there." So that was just an interesting difference in credibility. It's important in both fields, but the way it's defined and the way you acquire it as a teacher seemed quite different.
Right, and this might be stretching a bit beyond your data, but do you have any sense as to whether or not those differences you're observing create the culture or are driven by some more fundamental aspect of what it means to practice in one area or another?
I don't know that the differences create the culture. I think it's more likely that the culture has created the differences. There's a couple of things that happen. Medicine, quite distinct from music and to a lesser extent from teacher training, medicine assigns its teachers to another role, which is their role as clinician, that is always more important than their teaching role. At almost any given moment, the identity of the teacher as a clinician is paramount. And so then maybe it's not surprising that that's where the source of credibility comes. When somebody is teaching a music student, they may have their own performing career, or they may have had their own performing career, but it's not going on concurrently with what they're doing with the student. So in the moment with the student, their identity is as teacher. And so in that sense, it's maybe not surprising that their skill as a teacher is the main thing that defines their credibility. So I think that culture has programmed that rather than the other way around.
Right, okay. And your experience as a musician has likely had an influence on your activity as a medical educator. And so as my last question, I'm wondering if you've already found yourself using this research program to influence and change how you're going about your medical education practice.
What I have learned from this, and for sure the starkest contrast is between medicine and music. Teacher training is a little bit in the middle and offers some interesting insights, but not quite as dramatic a contrast. One of the things that music teachers do extremely well, if they're good at it, is to create a really clear path for improvement with sort of always linking feedback with instruction. And so I think if there's a message that I try to take into giving feedback, it's to be aware of those times when in medicine we like to give feedback that is so kind of unstructured and so unlinked to anything that's actionable that people aren't going to be able to do anything with it. A musician I talked to recently, who's also a doctor, said that a lot of the feedback that we give in medicine would be the equivalent of telling a musician, "That was nice, but I think you could play better."
Right.
And when you put it in those terms, you sort of think, well, that's ridiculous. You couldn't do anything with that as a musician. And I think to some extent that's the point. Of course you can't do anything with that. And so why is that our culture to provide feedback like that in medicine?
That is a great place to end, I think, because it does raise a lot of provocative questions. And I'll direct listeners to the article to get a few more insights as to where you think this work is leading you. As a reminder, the paper itself is entitled Beyond Individualism, Professional Culture and Its Influence on Feedback. And I've been speaking with the first author, Christopher Weiling, who's at Western University, and this is part of his PhD studies. The article, I should also say, is coming out in the June 2013 issue of Medical Education. Thank you very much, Chris. I very much appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing how this continues to evolve.
Thanks, Kevin. Interesting conversation, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, my pleasure.